morning, everybody. Today's daf in Chagiga, daf Dalad. Third daf of the Masechta. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf of the Lubin Lezecher Nishmas Lo Lubin Zaltzman. We find ourselves now on the very bottom of Yom Amid Beis, and we're going to define insanity. Now, okay, give the definition of insanity. They have whole entire departments. You get a doctorate degree in the definition of insanity. And meanwhile, we're going to cover it in about 8 lines of Gemara. So, good. Okay, yeah, you understand. Not exactly that simple, but fine. Yeah. Okay, the Mishnah, if you remember, we're going back to Daf Beis Amud Aleph, and we're starting at the first back to the first Mishnah of the Masechta. So we're talking about who's obligated in the mitzvah of Re'iyah, of Aliyah L'Regel, and who's exempt. So the Mishnah starts off with a big statement of HaKol Chayav. Well, everyone's obligated. But of course, we know when we say everybody, we don't mean everybody, and there are people that are going to be excluded from the obligation. So when all said and done, more than half the population not obligated, but okay, neither here nor there. But HaKol Chayav, everyone's obligated. And then who's exempt? So the Mishnah gave us a whole list of people who are exempt. So including that list of people, number two is Shota. Now Shota is somebody who does not have his cognitive ability. He is what we would call insane. And now what the Gemara is going to try to do is going to give us like a little diagnostics in terms of what exactly is the definition of insanity. Okay, so Tana Rabbanan, we are now on the very bottom of Gimel Amud Beis. And mind you, by the way, Rashi makes this point very clearly over here, that when we say that a person's patur from the mitzvah of Re'iyah, this is a global patur. This is a general exemption. This is not just specific to the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. This is true by all mitzvahs in the Torah. Take a look at Rashi, Ezru Shoteh. Rashi writes, I know I'm starting with Rashi today, but that's a place to start. Ezru Shoteh, Hamor B'chom Makom. Right, this exemption is for everyone. Shepater mina mitzvah, so mina onesh. She's exempt from all mitzvahs in the Torah, from punishment in the Torah. The ain kinyan o kinyan, not only in the world of Issa Veheter, but in the world of Mamonos. His any acquisition that he does is just simply not going to be an acquisition. The ain memkar o memkar, and his sale is not going to be a sale. So okay, so in other words, so really this is a global discussion. Just happens to we find ourselves in Chagiga to have this discussion. But it's a very big discussion in terms of what the definition of insanity is. So even to this very day, even in our country, so the definition of having a sound mind in order to create any type of transaction, so it goes, we relate in that regard. So Tana Rabbanan, so we start with the Gemara. It's about 7 lines from the bottom of the Yamun. Ezu Shotas, what's the definition of a Shota? Yotzei Chida Balayla, someone who walks around outside at night by himself. And Bahalam Bebeis HaKfaro, someone who sleeps in a cemetery. Vemakaris Ksuso, and somebody who tears his clothing. Okay, so we have now the symptoms. So now we now know what symptoms to look for. But the Gemara now has a very simple question. We just learned the Braisa. And the Braisa gave us 3 symptoms. So the question is very simple. Intmar Ravuna Marichu Kulam Bevas Achas. So Ravuna says that you don't give the diagnosis until you see all 3 symptoms present at the same time. Okay, so in other words, he has to be at the cemetery tearing his clothes by himself at night. Okay, so all 3 symptoms have to be there in order to come up with a classification that this person is in fact a Shota. Rav Yochanan Amar Afilu B'Achas Man, and Rav Yochanan says no, even if we only have 1 of the symptoms that we just described, so then that person is insane. So Hechidam, so the Gemara now adds a little more context to this whole discussion. Because any of these actions by themselves are not necessarily symptomatic of being a Shota. So Ida Avilu Derech Shtos Afilu B'Achad Anam. So the Gemara says, look, if he does any one of these actions B'Derech Shtos, now B'Derech Shtos literally translates as he just does it in a way without rhyme or without reason. Meaning it's just, he's just doing it. So if that's true, says the Gemara, so then we don't need all 3 symptoms. Meaning one of them is obviously going to be a good indication, a good enough indication, the person's a Shota. And the Ida Lo Avilu Derech Shtos Afilu Kulanami. And let's say he does everything below Derech Shtos. Okay, hard to understand what does that mean in this context, that it's below Derech Shtos, meaning he's doing all these things, but for reasons, right? Okay, I'm not exactly sure what that means, but he's doing it for reasons, but he's not doing it by Derech Shtos. So lo olam dekavelu Derech Shtos v'halan. So the Gemara says no. In terms of the context we're talking about, where he's doing any one of these activities, and he's doing it even by Derech Shtos, meaning he's doing it in a way that seems to us to be frivolous, just silly, right? He's not. There's no meditation. There's no explanation in terms of why he's doing it. And still, you could make the argument. You could have made the argument that he's not insane. How so? So in terms of sleeping in the cemetery, Okay, how is that not being a shota? So the Gemara says, because what you could have argued is that he would like to have more black magic, black power, all right, the koach hatama, right? In any given group, you ask people, you believe in magic, you don't believe in magic, you're going to go about, I don't know, nowadays I think it's less than 50-50. But in other words, if you are into this idea that there's this supernatural forces, so that could be an explanation of why it is that he slept in the cemetery. Who the kav? Vayotzi chida balayla emar gan daripas achdei. And in terms of going out at night and taking a walk by himself in the middle of the night, so the Gemara says again, you can explain that very simply. I can't even pronounce it. Okay, take a look at Rashi. Rashi over here gives two explanations in terms of what this is. So Rashi says, number one, right? Sorry, I lost myself. There we go. So Rashi says, "Hayos yichid balayla emar gandaripas achte anisha maticho leochez mitoch daaga." So Rashi says, explanation number one of what we're talking about, anxiety. Right, the person has tremendous anxiety, has tremendous stress, and so what does he do? He takes a walk outside at night. He's by himself, it's nighttime, it's dangerous, it's not safe to go out at night. Yeah, but the anxiety is just too much. And that's why he's doing it. It has nothing to do with a fragile state of mind and his loss of sanity. Or another explanation says, Rashi Belinira, Shinitchamim Gufo Yosalamakum Avir. He has a fever, he's schwitzing, he's so hot. And so basically what he does is he goes and takes a walk outside at night, even though he's by himself, but basically to get some air and to cool down. Okay, either way. And again, the Gemara's point is that any one of these behaviors by themselves is explainable, and the explanation doesn't have to be insanity. And finally, Amakarius Ksuso Emer Bal Machshavasu. And in terms of tearing his clothing, well, one could argue very simply, Bal Machshavas. He's so involved in his thoughts that right now he's in complex thinking, and he lost himself and he tore his clothing. Okay, but good. So that is the Gemara's presentation in terms of how it could be that even if he engaged in any of these activities, what the Gemara referred to as derech shtos, meaning in what seems to be a frivolous manner, but there could be an explanation in terms of why he did any one of these activities, and the explanation doesn't have to be insanity. So the Gemara says, Kevin Davdin Lakulo, Havaluhu, Kemishanagashor, Hamor, Vagamal. So the Gemara says, but once you see him engaged in all three activities, so at that point in time, the only explanation is he lost his state of mind. He is now he's insane. Kamosha Nagar Shor Chamor VeGamal. Gemara says, you know what's analogous to? Gemara says, I'll give you an analogy. It's like you have one ox, and this ox scores one ox, a donkey, and a camel. Now we know the halacha is that when you have a shor, when you have an ox, if he gores one time, he's a tom. In other words, that wasn't expected. An ox doesn't normally gore, and so therefore the owner of the ox is liable, but only chatzi nezek, only half damages, half the value of the damage. But once the animal becomes a muad, so that means that it's scored now three times, so at that point in time, the owner realizes that he's got a dangerous animal on his hands, and the owner now has full liability for any damage that's done by his ox. Let's envision, the Gemara gives a scenario where this ox does gore one time a donkey, one time a camel, and one time another ox. Okay, and he does all three of those gorings. So at that point in time, what you say is the following. First of all, the ox is a muad. That's number one. That's clear. And number two, it's indiscriminate in terms of who it's ready to gore. This ox is obviously just crazy and is ready to gore anything it can get its hands on. And the evidence for that is it's indiscriminate in terms of who it's going to gore. So with the assumption is that this ox, therefore, is a muad, and it's a mu'ad l'chol davar. Same thing with our guy. I know we're comparing an animal to a human, right? And generally the Gemara has some objection to it, but over here the Gemara says same thing. This guy over here is doing a crazy behavior, right? So each behavior in of itself is explainable, but once you see him exhibiting all three of those behaviors, Gemara says at that point in time, we stop creating explanations, and basically we unify every action into one explanation, which is he's insane. So the Okay, so where are we at right now? So we have a braisa that gives a definition of insanity. We have two opinions, Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan, whether he needs to exhibit all three behaviors, or if he just exhibits one of the three behaviors, is that going to be enough? Rav Huna says that he has to exhibit all three behaviors, and Rav Yochanan says no. An exhibition of just one of the behaviors is enough to classify him as insane. The Gemara says, Amara Papa, we're on the top of Dalam Adalf, two lines on the top. Ishmila le Rav Huna ha detanya. Look, if Rav Huna only learned the following Braisa, if he heard the following Braisa, he would have changed his opinion. Well, how's the Braisa read? Ezu Shot is Emma Abikom Shinos Nalo. You know what a Shot is? Definition? You give him something, he destroys it. He destroys anything you give him, so such an individual is a Shota. So the, now what does that Braisa tell us? That you only need to exhibit one behavior. The Braisa says, by just exhibition of one behavior of insanity, or not one action, but one action that gets repeated again and again, so at that point in time, you realize that he's a Shota. So, and meanwhile, what did Rav Huna say? You have to tear your clothing, you have to sleep in the cemetery, you have to walk at night by yourself. So, but this Braisa seems to indicate that one behavior is all you need. So, Hava Hadar Bey. So, if Rav Papa is saying, if Rav Huna would have heard this Braisa, he would have had charata, he would have recanted. So he bailu, okay, Hava Hadar Bey, Mimikar Ksusu, da Hava Hadar Bey, the Daimilaha, Oduma Mikula Hava Hadar. So, the Gemara now wonders, okay, you know what, I'm even going to grant you, Rav Huna would have taken back his position, but the Braisa that we quoted was in regard to destruction. So maybe what Rav Huna would have done is said, you know what, I'll give you that. If he tears his clothing for no apparent reason, okay, fine, so he's a Shota. But is he also going to agree that going to a cemetery or walking outside alone at night, are those also in of themselves enough of a demonstration that he's insane? Or is he just going to agree to the position of being a destroyer? Take the Gemara says, okay, I don't know. I don't know to what degree Rav Huna would have taken back his position. Okay, seems like I didn't look it up, but it seems like the Rambam accepts Rav Yochanan, that one of these behaviors exhibited is enough to classify the individual as a Shota. Tumtum androgynous. Okay, we're on Daf Dalam and Aleph. We are starting at the next part of the Mishnah. Next part of the Mishnah now goes through specific exemptions. Remember, when we learned the Mishnah, so we basically put it, the exemptions into different categories. The first category were general exemptions. Cherishot v'katan. Those are general exemptions. They're exempt not only from the mitzvah of Re'iyah, they're exempt from all mitzvahs in the Torah. But now we're up to the specific exemptions. That's tumtum and androgynous. Tumtum, like we described back in the Mishnah, someone who his genitalia is being covered by a membrane, so therefore he or she does not know which gender he or she is. And androgynous is someone who exhibits both genitalia, both of a male and a female, what we would call more modern terminology, a hermaphrodite. And so such an individual is also confused about the gender, but not for lack of knowledge, but for too much knowledge, for too much information. Meaning, there's both genitalia, which is being shown. They are both going to be exempt from the mitzvah of Alila Rego. Okay, so Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara starts off by teaching a brisa. We have a pasuk zachor, right? A zachor, right? That's actually not the pasuk. That's part of the pasuk. The pasuk says kol zachorcha. So from the word Zachor, so Laotis Hanashim. So now I know that women are not included in the mitzvah of Re'iyah. Okay, good. That's number one. Number two, Zachorcha. So now that you see what the Gemara is doing, or I should say rather what the Bryce is doing, that extra letter is going to teach us another halacha. Laotis Tumtum Androgynous. So that's an exclusion to Tumtum and Androgynous, which the Gemara is going to explain later on what you could have argued. We'll get to the Gemara in just a moment. And kol zechorcha l'rabbis is a ketanim. And the kol that's coming to tell me that everybody, who is that coming to include? That's coming to include ketanim. And later on, the Gemara is going to ask the question, what? We're including ketanim? No, we're not. Ketanim are exempt from mitzvahs. How can we be including them? And even if there's a mitzvah of chinuch, the Gemara is going to ask later on. The mitzvah of chinuch is a mitzvah of the Rabbanan. This is a drasha in the Torah. So later on, the Gemara is going to struggle to try to understand what that last drasha was. Step by step, let's go back. Let's go to the first drasha. Amar Mazachor Lo Sias Anashim. So we had a drasha that said that women are not obligated in the mitzvah of Re'iyah, of Olas, again, Olas Re'iyah, Alila Rego. Okay, either way, they're going to be exempt. So the Gemara says, I need a drasha for that. We knew that. Halam Likra Mechti Mitzvah Saseshas Mangrama V'chum Mitzvah Saseshas Mangrama Nashim Peturos. Gemara says, without a drasha, we know that any time by mitzvah, women are exempt from. So I don't need a special drasha to tell me that women are exempt. We knew that. So the Gemara says, not necessarily, we would have had a very legitimate avamina. Because we know this is not the first time we're talking about the connection between the mitzvah of Re'iyah and the mitzvah of Hakel. And ma lahala nashim chayavas afkanashim chayavas. So just like by the mitzvah of hakel, women are obligated in the mitzvah of hakel, the pasuk says so. So I might have thought that women are obligated in the mitzvah of re'iyah. Okay? That's the havamina. So kamash malan. So that's why I need a special drush in the Torah to tell me that women are exempt from the mitzvah of re'iyah. Amar mar zechurcha. We go on to the next point of the brisa. Lahotzi tumtum va'androgynous. So we're excluding tumtum and androgynous. So now the Gemara says, Bisham androgynous, it's resakad al chamina, hovis leitzad zachrus lechayev kamash malan, debiri bifne atmohu. So the Gemara says, look, androgynous, I understand why there's a need for a drasha. Because let's consider, he or she is exhibiting both genitalia, which means that there is sad zachrus. There's a side to him that's clearly male. So he would have thought, legitimately, not legitimately, but in other words, there's a good argument to make that he's obligated in the mitzvah because there's sad zachrus, because there's a side of him that's a male, clearly. So I need the pasuk to tell me that no, that in order to be obligated in the mitzvah of alila rego, you have to not have a sad zachrus, you have to be totally a zachor. Elatumtum sveikahu. But the Gemara says, but here, let's consider the following. Let's consider now the tumtum. Tumtum is somebody who does not know what he or she is. The genitalia is covered. So now, without the pasuk, what would I have thought? Let's think about this. It's the suffix. Well, right, good. Good. So hold that thought. Okay, I'm going to get to you. Alatumtum sveikahu mitzvah kralam mute sveika. I need a pasuk in the Torah to exclude a suffix. Meaning that without the pasuk in the Torah, we would have said, he doesn't know. Well, if he doesn't know, then why would he have thought that he needs to go? Okay, now, Ben raised an issue. I'm going to get to his issue in just a moment. Let me just first finish the thread of the Gemara. Amar Abaye, Kesheh Beitz Amir B'chutz. So Abaye says, here's what the pasuk is dealing with. The pasuk's talking about, in other words, the Gemara's, Abaye's basically saying that's an excellent point. You're right. If he was just a classic tumtum where he literally has no idea what gender he or she is, because the genitalia is covered, so then I would absolutely give it to you that I wouldn't need a pasuk. We're talking about specifically where someone is a tumtum, but beitim b'chutz, so part of the genitalia is exposed, specifically the testicles, and so therefore, under those circumstances, I might have thought the havamina would have been that's enough to indicate that he's a zachor, and therefore he's obligated, and the Torah has to then go out of its way to say, no, that's not enough. That's not enough zachrus to obligate him in the mitzvah. Okay, Adkan. That's the Gemara's answer. Now let's go back to Ben's point because it really requires some thought.
What was his point?
I'm going to reiterate. So Ben wants to know that this is a suffix daraisa. In other words, this person over here does not know his gender, his or her gender, okay, because it's covered. And yeah, he speaks about it. You're right. That's his topic for today. I read up. I prepared a little bit. So this is now a suffix whether or not this person is obligated in the mitzvah. So what do we normally say about suffix? Suffix daraisa lechumra. So the Gemara just simply dismissed. Oh, it's a suffix. Oh, he wouldn't have to gone. Right? Let's ask a simple question. That's not true. It doesn't seem to be true. On a suffix daraisa, normally we're machmir. So two points to make. He makes these two points. I'm just reiterating, but they're two very good points. Point number one, this idea of suffix da'araisa, where we're going to be machmir, is that always true? Is that always true? Yes, it's always true. On what level does that work on? So the Rashba is of the opinion that, what do you mean, what level does it work on? The Gemara says suffix da'araisa l'chumra, it means that the Torah wants us to be machmir in a suffix. The Rambam, interestingly, says, no, that's not true. On a suffix daraisa, the Torah doesn't want us to be machmir. It's the chachamim who imposed us to be machmir. Meaning on a Torah level, this is a little complex, but on a Torah level, the Torah is not interested in us being machmir. Meaning on a suffix daraisa, if it were just for the Torah, the Torah would say it's a suffix. Okay, go ahead. It's fine. And it's the chachamim who came in and asusiag the Torah, they made a fence for the Torah, and they said, even though the Torah says that a suffix is okay, we're going to be machmir. Right? It's the chachamim who impose the rule of suffix daraisa lechumra. Okay, that's the Rambam's position. That suffix daraisa lechumra is a din derabanan.
There are many other cases besides this one.
Understood. Now, if you listen carefully to our Gemara sounds great for the Rambam. Sounds great. Because what essentially is our Gemara saying? Oh, this person's a tumtum. That means it's a suffix. Okay, fine. In other words, if we're just dealing on a Torah level, he wouldn't have to go. And that's right. That's and the that was the Gemara's point. And the Gemara basically didn't move from that point. Meaning Abaye says, well, okay, Beitz of Mivachutz. Meaning we're talking about a special case over here. But basically the Gemara didn't move off that point. And the Gemara sounds great for the Rambam. Because the Rambam says, yeah, on a Safek, he wouldn't have to go. And again, on a Torah level. Midrabana, maybe he would have to go. But on a Torah level, he wouldn't have to go. And I'm not saying that the Gemara is a source for the Rambam, but certainly Rambam sounds good. According to the Rashbam, Safik Daraisa L'chumra is not a din derabbanan, that's a din in a Torah. So then how do you understand our Gemara? So this is point number two. Point number two is the, and he quotes the Prima Gadim. When do we say Safik Daraisa L'chumra? That's by an Isser in the Torah. An Isser in the Torah, so they are Safik Daraisa L'chumra. Meaning, this food may or may not be kosher. And the question over here is on a Daraisa level. So on a Daraisa level, the Torah is basically saying, not basically, the Torah is saying, well, don't eat it. Because it's a suffix. But on a mitzvah, we're not talking about nisa right now. We're talking about a mitzvah. We're not going to say suffix de araisa l'chumra. L'chumra is only to avoid isurim. Not so that you have to do mitzvahs. You know where this question becomes really, I mean, here it's obviously relevant, but we don't have the mitzvah of Elila Regal. We haven't had it in a couple thousand years. But I'll tell you where this issue really takes form nowadays. I'm just speaking it out. I'm not, I know I'm throwing a disclaimer in right now, but don't quote me, don't misquote me. But tchelis nowadays, right? So nowadays they seem to have found the tchelis. Okay, and so they put it out. Are they right? Could be. Meaning, right? They obviously think they're right. Right? The newest form of the tchelis. You know, a couple hundred years ago, also the Rezina put out tchelis. But nowadays, so they have what they feel is the right tchelis. Okay, and again, they could be right, and they think they're right. So basically, what are we looking at right now? We're looking at, well, there's a mitzvah in the Torah to wear tzitzis with tchelas. And they could be right. Mm. So basically now you get onto this question of, it's a suffix d'oraisa, but on a mitzvah saseh, on a positive commandment. Right. So basically it's the same kind of discussion. Now again, what we do with that information, good. So that's, you know, you go to your rabbi. But I'm just helping us think about what the issues are. Yeah.
I'm saying Rambam was not aware of this point.
What I mean, no, from the Rambam standpoint, our Gemara is fine. Meaning our Gemara is great because the Gemara is saying that on a Safek he wouldn't have to go.
The question is why Rambam doesn't agree with Rashi.
No.
Why wouldn't he think the same way as
the Rashba?
Yeah.
Meaning, why doesn't Rambam hold Safek Daraisa L'chumra min haTorah? Because the Torah only prohibits something when it's for sure prohibited, but on a suffix, the Torah is not speaking to a case where we don't know.
Another issue could be the consequence, meaning that if you decide that you're going to give this thing a suffix,
right,
and he's going to bring a korban, there's a potential that this korban could be a hulin bazar. That's another issue.
Agreed. Totally agreed. But, right. In other words, if you're not obligated, that's an excellent point to consider. If you're not obligated, so then the carbon's not a carbon. All right. Let me think more about that. I'm not totally on board with you, but you certainly gave me what to think about.
Tchelis, if you put it on.
Right, correct. You have nothing to lose.
Well, there's an issue. It could be an issue.
So I understand. He's raising a good issue. Okay.
Why can't not be changed to voluntary? I mean, if it's not obligated, it brings back.
Again, all right. Let's table this discussion because it can go on, and you know we have a daf to do. But okay, I'm acknowledging it's a good point. Hatanan, we learned in the Mishnah. What just happened? I skipped important words. Amar Mar Kol Zechorcha L'Rabbis is a Ketana. Okay, we're up to now the third drasha of the Braisa. Kol Zechorcha, which is coming to include Ketana. The Gemara says, what's going on over here? Hatanan, Chutz Mecher Yeshod B'Katan. The Mishnah says that a Katana is excluded from the Mitzvah. So the Gemara says, Amar Abay, Lo Kasha Kam B'Kan Shigil L'Chonach, Kam B'Kan Shalo Higil L'Chonach. So to which the Gemara says, okay, we're going to make a very simple distinction between a minor who has not yet reached the age of chinuch, that's our Mishnah, who's exempt, and the Braisa is talking about a minor who's reached the age of chinuch. To which the Gemara says, that's an unsatisfactory answer. Shegila chinuch derabbanani. I'm sorry, kan shegila chinuch derabbanani. So what are you talking about? Even if he arrived at the age of chinuch, there is a mitzvah to train him in doing mitzvahs. But that's not min haTorah. That's mid rabbanan. And achinam mikras machta ba'alma. The Gemara says, "Good, I'm with you." And even though it looked like we quoted drasha earlier, a smachta, it's a din de rabbanan with the rabbis connecting it to a pasuk, but it's not min haTorah. Okay, but there's a drasha. What's the drasha? What's the call? Calls the chorcha. So acherim armem and mekametz v'mitzarf nechosh v'aborsi p'turim min ha'ri'iya. This is an interesting exemption from the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Rego, one that perhaps you and I did not consider, but it's so intuitive. And that is, let's say if somebody who's mekametz, Rashi offers two pshatim over here, either pshat, take a look at Rashi, I'm gonna not read the Rashi right now, but either pshat basically means that he's involved in handling dog excrement. Hamitzarif nechosha, someone who works with copper and smelts it and he smells as a result of that. Haborsi, someone who's involved in tannery. What do these three people have in common? They all smell horrible, right? I know it's uncomfortable, but let's just say the Gemara. Say the Gemara like it is. They smell terrible, and therefore p'tur min ha'ri'iyah. They're parted from the mitzvah of aliyah l'rego. Mishum shenemar kol zechorcha mishi achol lalos im kol zechorcha yatzu elu shenem ru lalos im kol zechorcha. And because of the nature of the profession, I'd say it's not their fault. I know they could have chosen another profession, but because of the nature of the profession, they just smell so bad that they cannot. They're not ma'ura v'mabrios. They just can't be with other people because of their smell. And I know it's interesting, but they have a legitimate patur, a Torah patur from the mitzvah of aliyah l'rego because they cannot. They just simply can't be part of the crowd. Nashim avadim sheinu meshuchrarim. So Bishlo Menashin Kedam Marin El Avad Minala. How do I know that slaves are exempt from the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Rego? Amar Rav Huna, Amar Kra, Apnei HaAdon, Hashem. Misha Ein Lo Ela Adon Echad. And in order to be chayv in the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Rego, you only have to have one master. But if you have dual masters, meaning if you're a slave, where on one hand you have Hashem, and the other hand you also have your master, so you're exempt. The Gemara says, I needed that drasha. I didn't need that drasha. Yeah, I'm sorry, Yatzit, let me just finish the drasha. Yatzit says, Sheish lo Adon Acher. So halam el krad, the Gemara says, what are we doing? I don't need a drasha. Mechdi, kol mitzvah sheh isha chayev ba, eved chayev ba. Any mitzvah where a woman is obligated, the eved obligated, kol mitzvah sheh ina isha chayev ba, ina eved chayev ba. Degamar la la mi isha. We have a gzera shava, we say the gzera shava all the time in Shas, where an Eved Kenani is the same status in terms of mitzvahs as a woman. And so therefore, whatever woman's obligated, the Eved Kenani is obligated. And whatever she's patur, he's patur. So now, I don't need a drasha. I know already that a woman's exempt. We have the pasuk Zechor, called Zechorcha. So therefore, the Eved Kenani is exempt. And I need this additional drasha. So I'm a Ravina. Ravina says, yes, you do. You need an additional drasha. We already referenced this point to Ravina on Daf Beis, but here's where the Gemara actually makes the point. And that is, according to Ravina, the half Eved is going to be exempt. So, in fact, if you read the Mishnah, you read it carefully, he actually says so in the Mishnah. Because, my she'ena meshuchararim, we said an Eved that's not freed. Of course the Eved's not free. He wouldn't be an Eved. Meaning the Mishnah could have just simply said the word Eved, that would have been good enough. The Mishnah says, Eved she'enu meshuchar. What other kind of Eved is there? I understand there's an Eved Ivri, but in this context, the Mishnah clearly is talking about an Eved Kanani. So, Elam she'enu meshucharim klalis ne'avadim stama. Alav she'enu meshucharim legamre. In other words, the Mishnah here is alluding to the Eved that's not fully freed. What does that mean? O'mayninu mishachetzeh v'chetzeh ben charen. Oh, it's talking about the Eved who was owned by two masters, one of them freed him, so 50% of him now is freed, and now he is almost freed, but not legamre, meaning 50% of him is still owned. And that's what the Mishnah is referring to, and such an individual is exempt. And why does he have an exemption? Now we have the additional drasha. The additional drasha of he still has another master. Continuing in the Gemara, other exemptions from the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Rego. So Tana Rabbanan Regalim Pratla Bale Kaben. And a lot of this is going to be familiar because we saw this already in the Gemara. It's a good review. So somebody who does not who is an amputee and has a prosthetic, he's exempt from the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Rego. Dava Acher Regalim Pratla Chiger Ulechol Lasum Lazaken L'Sheina Yachol Alos Beraglo. Another drasha is if he is lame or sick or blind or old. The common thread, of course, is that on his own, he can't make it up the hill, up to Yerushalayim.
What's this year for age?
Happens to be the Gemara's not going to say, so I would only guess, and I'd rather not. V'she'enu yachol la'alos beraglav la'asuye mai, and somebody who can't and somebody who can't walk. In other words, that's a general term. Well, who's that coming to include? Amarav la'asuye mifanke. Someone who's a mifunak. Mifunak, a term that we use again and again throughout the Gemara. He is fastidious. He's delicate. He's super sensitive. And why is he exempt? So take a look at the Rashi, top Rashi over here. Interesting. Rashi on the top of Dalmud Beis, Shein Hochim Belo Min'al. This guy wouldn't walk barefoot. And we know that when you walk up to the Azara, when you walk to Harabais, when you walk to the Azara, you must be barefoot. And this person, such a mafunak, such a delicate person, oh no, I'm not going to walk barefoot. So again, interesting, he has a legitimate exemption from the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Dechsiv, I'm sorry, I should have finished the Gemara. Kisavar l'ros panai mi bikesh zos miadchem ramos chatzerai. Pasuk at the beginning of Yeshayahu. This is Chazon Yeshayahu. We just leaned it. Not just. Okay, five Shabbosim ago. We're in Shiva Nechemta. We're in the seven Haftarahs of Nechama. But of course, prior to that, were the Gimel de Perunas, the Perunusa. So the so this was right. Chazon Yeshayahu, I think, is number three. Okay, anyway. So, Kisavola Ros Panai, me because Jos Melchem Ramos Katzerai. Right, trample my courtyard. Rashi says, what does that mean, trample my courtyard? Meaning because they go in with shoes. You're not allowed to go in with shoes. You have to be barefoot. So, if you're the kind of person where you can't stomach the idea of walking in barefoot, so you have an exemption. Tana. More exemptions from the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Ha'ara v'atame p'tur min ha'ri'iyah. Someone who is uncircumcised, someone who's tamei, is exempt from the mitzvah of ri'iyah. Now the Gemara says, "Bishlam atami dechsev avata shama beveisam shama koshi yeshna bebea yeshna bava v'choshena bebea yeshna bava." So the tamei, I totally understand. He can't bring a carbon; he's tamei, and there's a connection between bringing a carbon and the mitzvah of going up to Yerushalayim. So anyone who can't bring the carbon is not obligated in the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel.
That's a one.
Rabbeinu Tam, you remember this? Rabbeinu Tam on Daf Beis quoted our Gemara to show that the mitzvah that we're talking about is both the mitzvah of Hava and the mitzvah of Bia.
With the Tamei person, you could actually use the same argument that you did on the first day, because his status would change on the day two. The question is, what happens?
Right, interesting. Interesting. Right, that's a good point. Okay, good. Very good. El Aro mi Nalan, but the uncircumcised, how do we know that he's exempt? So Hamani Rabbi Akiva, he demar bil Aro katame. So the Gemara says because the author of that brisa is Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva from a halachic status equates someone who's tame and someone who's uncircumcised. The time we learned the brisa Rabbi Akiva Omri, ish l'rabos es ha'arel. The ish is an inclusive arel. Now it's interesting, that pasuk the Gemara is quoting is not talking about the mitzvah of Re'iyah, but that's not the point. The point is according to Rabbi Akiva, the Arel and the Tamei are on par with one another, have the same halachic status. Whatever the Tamei is precluded from, the Arel also is going to be precluded from. Tana Rabbanan Tamei Patam and Ari'iyah. The Braisa, Gemara quotes the Braisa that a Tamei is exempt from the mitzvah of Ri'iyah, Dichsiv, Avat Hashem, Avei, Vesem, Shama. Kol she'eshna bebi'a yeshna be'ava, kol she'eina bebi'a yeshna be'ava. Okay, I know we just saw this already, but good. The Braisa says it again, that in order to be obligated in the mitzvah of Bia, of going up to Yerushalayim, you have to be involved in the mitzvah of Hava, bring a karban. A tamei is excluded from one, therefore he's excluded from the other. Rabbi Yochanan ben Davai Omer Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Suma Bachas Meinav Patur Min Ari'iyah Shenemar Yireh Yireh Kiderech Shebal Liros Kach Bal Liros Ma Bal Liros B'Shtei Einav Af Liros B'Shtei Einav. Another drasha that we already saw, and that is that you have to have binocular vision. You have to see out of both your eyes. If you are blind to one eye, you are exempt from the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Rav Huna Kimatal Aikra Yira Yira Bachim. Okay, from this point to the end of today's daf, we're going to be discussing reactions of Amorayim to various psukim. Before doing so, okay, just one comment by Tosfos. Third Tosfos on the Amud, Demar Ba'aro Kitame. So, according to Rabbi Akiva, someone who's uncircumcised is putter from the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. So Tosfos points out, comes out that according to Rabbi Akiva, by the Tumtum, I didn't need a drasha. Right? Interesting. Meaning, right, the Tumtum whose genitalia is covered. Right. Correct. Right. So according to Rabbi Akiva, even if the Tosfos makes this point, even if he was a Zohar, we don't know, but even if he was, he's an Arel.
Right.
So Right, so according to Rabbi Akiva, then I wouldn't need another drasha for the...
But maybe the... He's not a real Aral because you're not a
right,
Jewish.
Right. That takes us...
Very good.
That takes us to another discussion we saw time and again. Meaning, what's the definition of an Aral? Someone who can't... Right, someone who doesn't want to get circumcised or for legitimate reasons doesn't get circumcised. Right, that was another discussion we had a number of times throughout the Gemara. Good, very good point. Okay, Ben, you're on today. What's in that cup? it's really working. So the Rav Huna kimat lahaikra yira yira ebachi. So Rav Huna got to the pasuk. Now you understand the segue. We just quoted yira yira e. So the Gemara is now going to point out that Rav Huna got to that pasuk and it really moved him. Why did he get so emotional? Amar avich rabba mitzapol leirosu yisrachik mimenu. Meaning, Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to see us. That's the whole purpose of Alila Rego. So that we get close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. He wants to see us. And meanwhile, Dichsiv Kisavol Leros Panai Mi Bikeshos Miadchem Ramos Katzei Rai. And meanwhile, now we're in a state where Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to see us. And it made him terribly sad and totally understandable. Rav Huna Kimat Lahaikra Bachi. The Rav Huna got to the following pasuk and he started crying. So if it's the Vachta Shlomim Vachalta Shab, Evesh Rabba Mitzapa Lecho Al Shulchanel Yisrachek Mimenu. Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to invite us to his table and to eat karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. And meanwhile, Dichsiv, and we're going to go back to the Chazon Yishayahu, first parak in Yishayahu. Lama Li Rov Ziv Chachem Yomar Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't want your karbanos. It really moved him, it made him emotional, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu no longer wants us at his table. Rav Elazar Kimat Al Haikra Bachi. Rav Elazar got to the following pasuk, and it made him cry. Yosef tells the brothers, Ani Yosef, I'm Yosef, my father's still alive. And the brothers just didn't know what to say. Right, of course they didn't know what to say. The Uma Tochacha Shal Basav Adam Kach, Tochacha Shal Akash Baruch Lachas Kama Vekama. And Rav Elazar makes just a very simple point, and that is a powerful point. That they got reprimanded by Basav Adam, they got reprimanded by another human being. And meanwhile, they didn't know what to say. Can you imagine after 120 years when we get reprimanded from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That moved Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar came out to Haikra Bachi. Rabbi Elazar got to this pasuk, and this pasuk too made him cry. Shmuel says, what are you disturbing me now? Shaul, after the death of Shmuel, so desperately wanted to talk to Shmuel, he went to illegal means to talk to Shmuel, and that is he brought him back up from the dead. A necromancy of the day. So the and Shmuel says, why are you bothering me? Right when Shmuel was in fact conjured up when he was brought back from the dead. So Uma Shmuel Atzadik Hayemet Yarimina Din Anu Al Achas Kama Bekama. Now Shmuel was fearful of judgment. So we for sure should be fearful of if Shmuel is going to be fearful of judgment.
What
should.
Was he afraid of?
And what was he afraid of? Bekama Shmuel. I'm sorry. Kama Bekama. Shmuel Mahi. Now the Gemara wants to know where did we see that Shmuel was afraid? Where do we even see that he was afraid? Right, that's how Rashi understands the question. Right, Menalan de Misyare. How do we know that Shmuel was afraid? Dichsiv Atomer Haisha El Shaul Elokimra Isi Olim. So when the woman's talking to Shaul, she says, "I see Olim. I see two people going up." Now that's strange because she's only bringing Shmuel up from the dead, and who's this other person that was together with Shmuel? So Trey Mashma, I'm sorry, Olim, Trey Mashma. Sounds like there was somebody else with Shmuel. And there was. Chad Shmuel, V'idach da'azor Shmuel v'asir l'Moshe b'hadei. The other one was Moshe. Shmuel brought Moshe together with him. Amalei demachas v'shal medina mitba'enei. So Shmuel was worried that I'm going to go to judgment, I'm going to go to trial. And so what I need with me is my right-hand man. So who does he bring? Moshe. So kum b'hadei, the Lake of Milsa, the Kasaf, the Baraisa, the Lo Kiamte. You'll testify that I was Mekayim everything in the Torah. Tosis is bothered by an obvious question. Moshe and Shmuel did not live in the same time period. What is Moshe going to do testifying about Shmuel? He didn't see Shmuel. Now, I guess that you could diffuse the whole question by saying, okay, he saw Shmuel from the other side. Okay. Tosis is not buying that answer. Tosos says that what Moshe is going to testify is that Shmuel's interpretation of the Torah is correct, the same interpretation that he had, and so therefore, his understanding, what Moshe is going to testify is that Shmuel's understanding of the Torah was a correct understanding of the Torah. That's how Tosfos understands this kind of testimony. You can see it inside Deleika Milsa Dixiba Raisa, right? Third to last Tosfos. Rabbi Ami Kimat Laikra Bachi. Rabbi Ami, when he got to the following pasuk, he would cry. Yitem Bafar Piu Ulayesh Tikva. Pasuk in Echa says, you'll be so mournful, you'll be so despondent, you'll put dirt in your mouth, and ulai, and maybe there's going to be hope. You're going to a lot of extremes, and what do you get in exchange for that? Ulai, maybe. Right? Amar kule hai vi ulai. You're going to go through all this trouble, and what are you getting? Maybe. Okay, maybe there'll be hope. Rabbi Ami kemat al aikra bachi. Rabbi Ami got to the following pasuk, and he started crying. Bikshu tzedek, bikshu anava ulai, tastiru biyom af Hashem. Be righteous. Be humble, and maybe on the day of Kadosh Baruch Hu's anger, maybe you'll be saved. And again, same point. I'm a kula hai v'ulai, right? I try my best to be a good guy, and all I'm getting is a lie. Rabbi Asi kimat lahai kar bachi sinera avu tov hitzigu b'shar mishpat, hate evil, love good, get involved in justice, and ulai yichanein Hashem elokei tzvakos, and maybe Kadosh Baruch Hu will have rachamim on you. And again, same point. Kule hai v'ulai. You did all that, and what'd you get? You got an ulai. Rav Yosef kimat alai kra bachi. Rav Yosef got to the following pasuk, and he cried. Yesh nispe b'lo mishpat. Some people die, and it wasn't their time to die. What? And to which the Gemara essentially asked that very question. Amar mi'ika de'azer b'lo zmanei. Yeah, Akash Baruch takes somebody before their time. Right. Remember, just a short couple of days ago, we saw in the Gemara, right, that zman, that the amount of time you live on this earth, that's mazel. But now, what the Gemara is saying is that you person can die prematurely. Now, when I say premature, I mean premature when from what HaKadosh Baruch Hu planned. And the story we're about to see is some episode. Strap in for the last part of today's daf. So, in the Gemara says it's true. Right, people can be snatched from this earth even if it's not their time. So Rabbi Barabai had frequent conversations with the Malach HaMavis. You remember earlier at the end of Moed Katan, we noted that Bibi Barabai was standing company with the Malach HaMavis. And Amar Leil Shluchei Zil Aisalei Miriam Migdala Se'ar Nishaya. So I want you to bring to me Miriam, the hair braider. Right, the hairstylist. Right, so in other words, that's who the Malach HaMavis. He had one of his shlichim, he had one of his, you know, his lackeys, and he basically says to me, "Go get me Miriam, specifically the hairstylist." Azal Isolay Mir Magdala Didardike, and right, the Malach went, and the shliach went, I should say, and got the wrong Miriam. Right, Miriam, the raiser of children, right, the teacher of children. Okay, so looked it up in the phone book and. Wrong one. Amalei Ana Miriam Magdalei Se'anishai Amrilach. So the Malach HaMavis says, "Oh, you got the wrong one. What happened?" Amalei Ihachi Ahadra. Okay, so the shliach said, "No problem, exchange, right? Right? We're good." In other words, I know I took the wrong one, so we'll just do an exchange. Amalei Holbi Vaisei Lahava Leminyana. So that's, what do you mean exchange? No, that doesn't work, right? In other words, you took her, meaning she died, and she's here. So Ela Hechi Achaltalei. Okay, so the Gemara asks the question. The Gemara says, "Well, how was the Sheikh able to do it? Meaning, it wasn't her time. So how was he able to do it?" So Amnikita mit Arabiyada. So the Gemara explains that she was holding Rashi says a poker, a spit. And Amnikita mit Arabiyada, havaka shagra umachra tanura, and she was sweeping the oven, and she called to banachta gaba dekara. And by accident, the hot spit went right on her foot, and it burned her foot. So katcha, it burned herself. The itra mazla, and there went her mazel. And this fits in actually wonderfully with what we learned at the end of Moed Katan, that the amount of years you have in this life is connected to mazel, and her mazel went. So that's how she died. So amale rabibi bar abaye yisachur rishus lama abed hache. So I'm saying. Right, so Rabbi Barabai says to the Malach HaMavis, "What? You have permission? Meaning you're that authorized that you could do that?" So Amalei Velo Ksiv Yesh Nespe Velo Mishpat, and the Malach HaMavis says, "Pasuk in Kohelis. What are you talking about? Of course they do. People die before their time. It's a pasuk in Kohelis." Amalei Vaksiv Dor Holech V'Dor Ba. So then Rabbi Bar Abaye says to the Malchim Avos, okay, but what about, I'll quote you a pasuk. The pasuk says, Dor Holech V'Dor Ba. Generations have a specific time. You can't take a generation before its time. So Amar Dar Inaluhu Ana Adamaluhu Ladara Vahadar Mishamin Ole Ledume. So the Malchim Avos explains, you don't understand that pasuk. I'll explain that pasuk to you. That pasuk of Dor Holech Dor Ba just simply means that I collect a number of neshamas. In terms of when I collect them, at my discretion I collect them. When I then deliver the neshamas to Kadosh Baruch Hu, right, that's at a specific time. That's Dor Holech Dor Ba. What happens to the neshamas once they're collected, before they're actually delivered? Take a look at Rashi. I told you to strap in for today. So Rashi says, top of Hamad Aleph. Any most on the Shomer Hamesim Shishmo Doma. I don't give him to the guardian of the dead whose name was Doma. Elamit Galkalin Imi Vishatan Ba'olam. They hang out with me, they float over the earth. Achi and Ma'alush Nosav. Until we get to the end of what's called a door. The Hukari door. And then if we get to the door, then I hand them over. Okay. Obviously, right, Rashi over here, Gemara over here is making a reference. Okay, what a daf today. Necromancy, ghosts, and one last point, and that is, I don't know if you noticed that the wrong Mary was taken. Did everyone catch her name? Right. You look. I don't have anything smart to say about this, but you take a look. A very good friend of mine also gives a daf on Wayu Torah. So Simon Wolf. So he actually, if you take you go to Wayu Torah and take a look at him. A plug for my friend. But he actually he picks up on this, and he has a little bit to say about it. So something to a little research after today's daf.